This week's mailbag comes to us from Brandy. Dear Lisa, the Sunday basket was the missing piece in my life. We have a pretty organized home, but paper clutter, mostly daily mail and junk mail, tended to pile and never had an assigned spot. Setting up the Sunday basket system changed things. It is known now that mail goes into the front of the Sunday basket. No more tracking down mail placed all over the house. Bills have a dedicated spot until they are paid, along with folders for everyone in our home for any paperwork that may come through. It was easy to adjust our Sunday basket to fit the needs of our home, and it will be easy to change in the future if needed. I cannot say enough great things about the Sunday basket and how it has tamed the papers in our home. Thank you, Brandy.
Do you have an organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. All right, so you figured out your pink and purple slash pockets. Let's head into blue Friday workbox slash pockets. So blue is for you first, and then blue is for your team. Now, the order in which you do the colors of slash pockets in the Friday workbox makes a difference. It does not make a difference in the Sunday basket. In the Sunday basket, the colors kind of delineate what kind of projects you're saving until someday when you have time. In your workbox, there is a purposeful order to the slash pockets, and one color begets the next, begets the next. So if you don't have any ideas or you don't have any projects that haven't been done yet, which is pink, then you have nothing to do for purple. Once you have your idea and you give it a deadline and you put it on your calendar and you give it a due date or a goal or put some money behind it, it becomes a purple slash pocket. Understanding pink and purple and having enough ideas to generate actionable projects inside of whatever kind of work you're doing, only enough projects that you can actually complete them, not too many and not too few, while still maintaining and generating new ideas. This is where I see most people in all kinds of work spend the majority of their time. They actually think that all work is created equal, and if they're working at their desk on something that's on their to-do list, that that work will give them a team and give them money, and it's not true. You have to have both kinds of work, lead-generating work with it, which is pink, and produce or product generating work, which is purple. And it's understanding those two different kinds of work and doing both of them in enough of a rhythm to perpetually get the pink and purple spinning like in a circle. And when you stop doing lead generating, idea generating work, and you end up just in projects, you lose some of that lifeblood that you get from pink. If you only focus on leads and ideas and possibilities, and you never give yourself any goals or deadlines, then you're working, 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 but you never feel like you've accomplished anything. You never have a deliverable or an actionable that ends up in a job well done where you get money. So pink and purple is first. Once you figure out those two different kinds of works, which one you're better at and which one you need to improve on, now we move into blue. And initially, the blue slash pockets are for you. They are for your professional development. They're for your HR record. They are for your meetings that you attend with people that are your sidelines and people that you report to. At first, usually, you don't have a team. Like, you don't start out fresh out of the womb and all of a sudden you have people that you're responsible for. So we're going to take you up through that ladder. Now, I did not realize how unusual my childhood was. Actually, the older I get, the more unusual I realized my childhood was. On my dad's side of the family, which I've shared before, I'm from a large Irish Catholic family, lots of people, lots of love, lots of chaos, lots of sarcasm, lots of fun. On my mom's side of the family, they're English and German, very much more reserved, intellectual, I'm a fourth generation female college graduate on my mother's side. That's almost unheard of. Really small families. Like, my mom was the oldest of two children. Her mom was an only child. Very, very small families, all went to college, business owners, reserved. Highly education focused. So I became a teacher. My mom taught art school. My great grandmother was a teacher. So lots of teachers in our family, but also just generally interested in personal development. I really didn't think anything about it. But basically, you know how I said a couple of episodes ago that I am productivity oriented? I came by that naturally on my mother's side. Like, we didn't waste any time. Like, no time was wasted. As a matter of fact, I would say on my mom's family, when I look back on it, time was of more value than money. Now, my mom's family had money, and so they, you know, had more money than time, and they saw the value of time. And they didn't watch a lot of, like, I can't think of anyone on my mom's side of the family who you could say, what TV show have you watched? And they watched any. Like, nobody watched TV. Growing up, I didn't wear jeans. Like, I wore khaki pants. I went to Catholic school. But even before I went to Catholic school, like, my mom's family didn't wear denim. Like, they were just very, very proper. And our idea of fun was to have intellectually stimulating conversations. Not about the weather, not about sports teams, although my grandmother knew a lot about sports teams and could talk to anyone about it. Not about TV shows. It was about books you read, lectures you'd been to, thoughts that you'd heard that you wanted to discuss, politics from a global perspective and a shifting the world perspective, not as a whodunit or did you hear the latest gossip? More like, how will this impact all of the United States, the world, the economy, et cetera? Very high-level intellectual conversations. And as a child, I grew up on a street where there were 72 houses. I know because I created a newsletter and I delivered it and I coordinated the block party. And of those 72 houses, which was kind of in the country, there were only four children other than Emily and I on the entire street, which is not a lot of children. So there weren't a lot of kids. So my friends were my family members and my parents' adult friends who I could have conversations with. And my mom would often challenge us to use vocabulary that she called 50-cent vocabulary. So if you used a vocabulary word that was more intellectual, she would call that a quarter word or a 50-cent word. And we were challenged to use more refined vocabulary in our discussions. And because of that, I could converse with her friends who were adults all the time and understand everything they were saying because those are my friends. I realize this sounds more awkward as I say it than it was in my head before I started talking, but too late. I'm already recording. Grayson's coming. I have to keep recording. So when I look back on it, I mean, like, I remember finding out who Zig Ziglar was. Like, he's a motivational speaker. And I was like, oh yeah, those are the tapes that grandma would listen to in the car when we were driving around, which I remember being in the car when grandma would drive me around because you could hear the turn signal. Because she didn't have a radio on. So you heard the click, 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 click. And once my kids went to high school, I started listening to podcasts. I've told you this before, with one AirPod in, turned very low. Wasn't an AirPod. It was corded at the time. And they had their headphones in and everybody listened to whatever they wanted. And they were listening to music or whatever. But I was listening to podcasts. And I had always heard about turning your car into a university and learning while you're driving as you go along. And so Brian Tracy, all these people, I've listened to all these people. But it's because grandma did this. Now, my mom didn't listen to cassette tapes, but my mom would listen to AM radio or talk TV. It was always on in the background, listening to other people's thoughts, conversations about experiencing our world and that. My mom took this a little bit too far. And so we had to define what a trip and what a vacation was because we went to Walt Disney World and Emily and I were enrolled in art classes. And I was like, Mom, we're at Walt Disney World. We're supposed to go and ride on the rides. She goes, yeah, we'll do that. But also, you will go to art school. So when I went to Walt Disney World, I don't know how you did it, but when I went, we actually went to class. And I was dropped off and I was taught how to make Mickey Mouse. And then I was taken behind the scenes in the Magic Kingdom. And I was taught all about like how the different buildings were done and the art was done. And that's when I learned that Walt Disney bought enough land in Orlando, Florida, that they could make their own building codes because the other roller coaster mountain thing is made out of like some kind of a styrofoamy type thing that you couldn't normally make that out of, but because they have their own building codes, this is the kind of conversations I had growing up. I don't know what kind of conversations you had growing up, but this is what we had. So after that vacation, which Emily and I deemed a trip, we said, okay, when mom and dad would say we were going somewhere, we'd be like, is it a vacation or is it a trip? And it was half and half because my mom saw part of her parenting as teaching us about the world and giving us as many experiences as possible. Like, she was excellent at it. And I have done the same for my children. And I'm so grateful that she did it for me. So one of the trips that we took, I was in high school. We live in Ohio, and we went to Williamsburg to learn about, you know, American history and all that. And that was a trip. Oh, it was so much fun. I just loved all of these trips with my mom and my grandma and learning all of these different things. So personal development for me is like breathing, like learning more, taking a personality test, all the personality tests. Like, I want to know more about me. And then I want to know more about everyone in my family so I could communicate as well as I can. In teaching, I've learned most of the different ways that you can teach children, Montessori, regular, classical, like all of them. And I know the similarities and the differences. I just love learning, and I love learning about learning. And so your blue is first about you. You cannot learn about other people until you truly understand yourself. Like, all these different things I've talked about on the podcast. What's your best time of day? Are you a questioner, upholder, obliger, or a rebel? Which is Gretchen Rubin's thing. Like, what's your Enneagram number? What's your Myers-Briggs? What's your Colby? All these different things teach you about you. And once you understand more about you, then you could start looking at your family members and the team members that you work with and find out more about them. And often, you know, as a teacher, my philosophy is children cannot fail to learn. Only teachers can fail to teach. And as a podcast host, I believe that you cannot fail to learn to be organized. I can only fail to teach you that. If you truly want to make a transformation in whatever you're doing, whatever you're being called to do, teaching, parenting, working, volunteering, caregiving, whatever kind of transformation you are going after, it is your job in achieving that transformation for yourself and others to think about the people that you are bringing along on that transformation and how they're receiving that information, how they're learning, and how you can help them along on that journey more. And first, it comes by understanding you. I am an auditory processor. I love learning and teaching through speaking and listening. Videos move too slow for me, and I'm dyslexic, and it takes me a long time to type things out, so it's not written word either. That is why I teach through a podcast. And if you're listening to a podcast, you're probably an auditory listener. And there are many people who love YouTube, and I'm barely on there for a reason. That's not my best teaching mode, and it's not my best learning mode. So I'm going to teach and learn in my best mode, which is live and in person. And since I haven't been able to do live and in person up until now, it's been through the podcast. But now that we have more opportunity for me to travel, it will be through live speaking, in person, on media, being interviewed. I much prefer to be interviewed than to do a keynote. I just love having conversations with people. I love the spontaneity of how it moves off into a different conversation. I love having different conversations all the time, not the same rote conversation over and over and over again. So because that's how I learn best, that is how I teach. And then people who learn that way are also drawn and attracted to me. So that's learning all about yourself in blue. If you get good at understanding the two kinds of work, pink and purple, leads and projects, marketing and sales, you know, getting people interested in your product and delivering VIP customer service, then you will get better and better and better at pink and purple by understanding who you attract naturally to you and how you can refine that message for yourself and for the listener. As you do that, naturally, you will get more work than you know what to do with. And that is when you are going to need to add more people to your team. Now, first and foremost, if you are a female head of household as I am, the team that you're going to add will be in your house before it is in your paid business. So housekeeper, sending out the laundry, somebody else to watch children if you have them, or walk the dog, or service your car, or whatever. All of that is much easier to hire out than it is to hire an assistant. Interestingly enough, little rabbit trail. When I was on the book tour, someone said that I should listen to a new book that is out called The Secret History of Home Economics, which I listened to and is fascinating. And just so you know, in the 1800s through the beginning of the 1900s, home economics counseled people to not do their own laundry or clean their own house and to hire it all out. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I feel like such a prima donna saying you should hire help at home. Come to find out, like, that is the origin of home economics. Just a little side note, just a little food for thought. Anyways, once you have hired help at home, which I know some people really struggle with hiring help at home, I think it's more of a mindset of we should do this than not, than it is actually the mechanics of hiring. I think it's our mental mindset that gets in the way more than the actual mechanics of doing it. And once you get your mindset around it, then you just do the hiring. Hiring, especially if you are not an employee working for somebody else, but you are going to do the hiring and you're going to create a contractor or an employee that's going to report to you, now we're in a whole other skill set. Now you have to generate pink or purple work for them to work on that is worth paying them to work on so that you can do more pink and purple work while you learn about that person's individuality and how they best learn, receive feedback, are encouraged, motivated, why they want to do a job. This is why when I go all the way back to direct sales, learning how to get leads and sell people a product inside of your company are skill sets. The third skill set needed in order to achieve leadership and maintain leadership inside of direct sales is to figure out what motivates other people on your team to have a job, to sell for your direct sales company, while not losing sight of your own pink, purple, and blue work for your own company, taking time out and developing another whole team inside of that company. So the blue area of your workbox is the area that starts to grow when you start to collaborate with your team members that are in your team, when you start to take on direct reports or recruiting and direct sales, or if you are an entrepreneur or someone who is starting your own business, a freelancer, as you start to take on other contractors, you have to not only maintain their workload, but you also have to maintain and grow that relationship. So blue is very much about relationships. Now, over the last, almost 10 years of growing Organize 365, we've gone from me being a solopreneur to me growing a team. And in the beginning, if you read the book, Organization is a Learnable Skill, the first team that I grew was an in-home professional organization team. None of those team members are still on the team anymore because that portion of the company doesn't exist anymore. It was in 2017, at the end of 2017, when I hired 7 people to develop what you see today, was to get all the ideas out of my head and turn it into the Sunday basket, the Friday workbox, and the 4 main essential reference binders that replace your file cabinet. That was the purpose of hiring those 7 people in 7 weeks. Now, only one of those was a full-time hire. It was the 7th person. It was my sister, Emily Kelly, who's director of marketing. Everyone else that I hired at that time was hired for between 5 and 15 hours a week. And this is interesting, you might not know this, but when you hire somebody, you don't have to pay them until 2 weeks after they've done work. So if you have enough work and you figured out how you're going to generate income to pay for that person, you can go ahead and hire and train. I personally like to hire a whole bunch of people all at one time. Actually, this summer, I did it again. I hired 7 people in 7 weeks. This time, though, 5 of them are full-time employees and only a few are part-time contractors. I like hiring a bunch of people all at one time. In direct sales, I loved recruiting a whole bunch of people at one time because it's like I put them in a classroom. We get to know everybody, they get all onboarded and trained at the same time, and we move on. Managing a team, managing direct reports, managing a Like if you're a department, like if you're doing marketing or operations or IT or whatever your department is that you're managing, you need to communicate. You not only need to understand yourself and understand the people that you are managing and directing or employing, but then you also need to be able to move work into those departments. And I am a teacher, so I don't really know much about this from a business aspect, but I know this as a teacher. There was X amount of work that had to be done as a teacher, both to get through the curriculum, to meet the parents' expectations, to meet the school district expectations, to meet the state standards, to meet the requirements for any children who had special needs that needed to have any of those things. And what happened as a teacher was the work was the work, and however long it took you to do it is how long it took you to do it. And for most teachers, that's 60 or 70 hours a week during the school year. It's a lot of hours. And none of it's optional. It's not like you can say, well, I'm not going to do that report, or I'm not going to teach that class, or I'm not going to grade that test. Like, it all has to get done. And that's why teachers spend so much time working, is because the amount of work on their plate doesn't change. It just has to get done. In an hourly job, like if you have an hourly job, you go to work and you work your hours. And when your hours are up, you get paid dollars per hour. But if, like, let's say you're working at Burger King and it's 6 o'clock, you literally clock out and you walk out. Like, you don't worry about the fact that somebody's got to clean up that grill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's just an example. Any hourly job where you show up at 8 and you leave at 4 and you just wait, like your email literally is at work. And when you get to work the next day at 8, that's when you start working again. That is trading dollars per hour, that kind of a job. The work definitely fits in your hourly time frame. There is no work that overlaps. There is no overtime, but sometimes those jobs are very stressful because there's more work expected of you than fits in those hours. But unlike teachers, you don't stay longer to do the work. It just keeps piling up. And if the expectations are unrealistic for your hourly job, then what happens is that projects go undone, mistakes happen, and then there's just a lot of frustration everywhere. So one of the things that I have been really cognizant to do, and I don't know how much longer I'll be able to do it, but I've been able to do it so far, is that I'm extremely cognizant of how much work is on every Organize 365 employee. Like I maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's because I'm a parent, I don't know. But we can usually tell when an employee is getting overwhelmed, they have too much on their plate. And when an employee has too much on their plate, I do one of two things. One, I review everything they're doing and we just delete some of the projects. Or I extend the deadline and change when we're going to launch whatever idea I have that it is that we're going to launch. Or I hire more people. And my former CFO said to me, you hire too early, Lisa. You hire too many people and you hire too early. Like you are people heavy inside of your company. He said, you should not be hiring until everyone here is working more hours than they can handle, and that's when you hire. And I was like, no, like that doesn't work for me. Like, I just don't need to cause unnecessary stress. Like, I don't know, it's just not the kind of company I want to have. So because it's not the company I want to have, I proactively hire before we need people and enough time that they can get all the way through our 6 to 12 weeks of onboarding and really understand the Organize 365 culture, sales cycle, et cetera, before they're solely responsible for their role and position. And you're probably all like, well, that's a unicorn company. Probably, I don't know. When you have your own company, you get to do whatever you want. And this is what I want. So this is what I'm doing. My people are so happy. Like they're so happy because we do it this way. And I'm like, why don't more people do it this way? I don't know. That's a conversation for another day. But what I have found in growing my company this way and knowing my people and trying to find everyone's uniqueness being valued in their position, even if we have three people doing the same position, which we don't yet, but we will, they each have their own unique spin. I guess in the warehouse, we do have three people doing shipping and warehousing now. And they do all have their own unique spin. Like Joey loves to be in charge of the Sunday basket. So if Sunday basket needs to be done, that's what Joey's going to do. You know, like everybody kind of has their own thing that they kind of gravitate towards, and we just kind of let them do that. But the hardest thing about growing a team is twofold. One is communicating with everybody in the company so that we at least have enough information that we can keep moving forward. And then the other thing, which I think is more unique to me, is actually creating a company from scratch, like creating a whole marketing department, creating the whole entire thing, which I've done through EOS and Small Giants and Traction and all these books that I share with you on the Monday podcast and in my Monday YouTube channel. Those are the books that I'm looking to structure our company and grow our company. Our blue slash pockets inside of Organize 365 are for a multitude of meetings that we have. And here are the different kinds of meetings that we have. Almost all are explained in the Entrepreneurial Operating System, EOS, which is Traction. And then we also pull out the huddle from Rockefeller Habits. And then we incorporate our own methodology of planning days in there as well. So every person in the company, almost every person in the company, has what we call a one-to-one meeting. And a one-to-one meeting for us is weekly, which is pretty often. I don't know if everybody needs it, but we move pretty fast and we're growing at a good rate. So we do it every week. We like to say a month around here is like a year in most people's companies. So a one-to-one meeting. So you would have a meeting with your supervisor. And if you're a supervisor, with all of your direct reports. We don't use the word supervisor, but you get the idea. Like whoever's team you're on, you would have a one-to-one meeting with that team member. And in that meeting, you're going to go over anything your team lead wants to say to you, anything that you have questions for your team lead, and any projects that are on your plate in the next 7 days and where you are in those projects. So this is how we make sure that nobody is bored and nobody is overwhelmed. Like everybody has like 80% of their time filled with projects, leaving 20% for margin is our goal. So those one-to-one meetings can be anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour. It just depends on how much is on your workload and if you have people reporting to you that you're also reporting to somebody else about. The second kind of meeting we have, we started this with operations last year and now we're doing it in marketing. So last year we went from one person in operations to 10 people in operations. And so we started a daily huddle. Vanessa started this and she does it every day. And it could be 5 minutes, it could be 15 minutes. If we have a problem, it could be an hour. It doesn't matter. But everyone in operations comes and meets in the shipping area. And she just, you know, she's so great. I think she does like a quote and they give some customer success. And then they just have everyone go around the circle. Like, what's your top thing you need to get done today? Is there any bottleneck that you're having that you need help with? And then they do a little cheer and off they go. I'm starting this huddle in marketing because we're going from two people in marketing to like 10 people in marketing. Same exact thing. Like there are just so many people that are new and we're going from two people who know everything in marketing to divide this out into a whole bunch of different roles inside of marketing. And we just need that daily touch point. And so we meet at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I go into the marketing room and I say, okay, what came into customer service today? Is there anything I need to know about? Is there any messaging that I have missed on my Instagram Live when I go rogue? And what is our plan for social media for tomorrow and the next day? Like, are there any reels that we're going to do? Do I have to wear a certain outfit? Do we need, like, what are we doing for our social media? What is the plan? I love doing my Instagram stories. I love doing Instagram. And I'm super excited to have Erin doing social media with us now because she is, you've probably seen it if you follow Instagram. She's been popping things into my Instagram story. I have wanted this for like 3 years, but we had nobody but me doing the videos for social media. Mary was scheduling, but I was doing everything live here in Cincinnati. So now she's able to catch a lot more of the behind the scenes that I wanted. She's able to take my phone and take all the pictures I've already saved and put them into reels, which I never had time to figure out or do. And as soon as Grayson comes, which maybe he's come by the time you're listening to this podcast, she'll be able to come over to the house and like literally video me so I can keep going on Instagram. So I'm super excited about that. Then we have department meetings and we have whole company meetings. And in our department meetings, we have it organized like the colors of slash pockets in the Sunday basket. So when you open up our meeting agenda, we have pink, like what are the ideas or things that are in the future? We have purple, like what are we actionably working on right now? We have blue, like are there any people issues with inside of our teams or do we need new hires or are people being onboarded or people taking days off, whatever would be in our blue HR slash personal development. And then we have green, like links to any outside documents that we need for reference, any administrative tasks that need to be done, any weekly, monthly, quarterly things that need to be updated. And then we have a whole company monthly meeting that I lead, just making sure everybody's on the same page. And then we do quarterly planning days. So every quarter, the last Friday of the quarter, the team has the whole day to go through their work boxes, to clean out everything from this quarter, to put whatever the new projects are for the next quarter in their work boxes, to go through their email inbox and get it down to zero as much as possible, to hop into each other's rooms and just clear things off of to-do lists and out of Slash pockets, and hop on Zooms with remote staff and say, hey, you know, this project is now green-lighted. What are you doing for it? How are we going to set it up? And they just have that whole day once a quarter to just clear out the last quarter and get all set up for the next quarter going forward. So that's how we do meetings. All right. So that is Blue. It is all about you. And if you do Blue well, then your team will grow inside of the company that you're in. Or if you are a company of yourself, your team will grow just because you're getting good at supporting other people. Next week, we're going to talk about green Slash pockets. This is the maintenance, the admin. Everyone has this, even if administration isn't in your title. Everyone has it. It is not optional. We will tackle that next week.